Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Well, hello and welcome to the show tonight. I'm so glad you chose to join us. I think you're in for a real treat. We're going to be talking about some very interesting things. The topic of our show tonight is Accelerate Your Personal Ascension. And our guest tonight is Meg Benedicte. We're going to bring her on in just a minute, but I wanted to talk just for a second about your divinity, that God with a big G or goddess with a big G part of you. It's a real curious thing. Our mythology kind of pokes at it with a stick, and there's languaging that talks about how we have that God essence within us, the idea that the entire ocean is contained in a drop. As far as composition, when we talk about your divinity, for me, the thing that just gets me so flippin' excited is when there's desire in the collective consciousness, when the human story is inadequate for what people want, when there's a desire for change in the collective consciousness, that's really exciting. That's really exciting because that human desire, that human wanting is raw opportunity. It's opportunity that hasn't been fulfilled. And if you're listening to this radio episode tonight, I suggest to you, your soul wants to swim in that pond in a big way. Your soul wants to be a divine point of effect, of leverage, of fulcrum, if you will. And the nice thing about God with a big G showing up through you as you is love, because the power play in our human persona is love. The game changer is divine love, unconditional love. The big God, the big goddess, the really divine father, mother persona, by the nature of unconditional love, won't do squat, won't do diddly, unless a human being comes along and says, hey, me, and you raise your hand, and you say, what the hell, what can I do as a human being? I want to be an even bigger vessel of love for humanity. And the first few times I asked that a long time ago, I said, Divine Mother, Divine Father, what the hell? How could my persona be a bigger vessel of love for humanity? And invariably, within a few weeks, some big-ass event had come along and crack my noggin open even farther and farther. What it was doing is it was cleansing me. It was piercing the density of me to open up my consciousness so I could embody an even bigger picture of what my life could be, always, always hinged around love, divine love, unconditional love. And I've done that over and over and over again. And every time I do it, the vision of my life gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm like, okay, I guess so, put me down for that. And my ego self is kind of dumbfounded that this small town kid from Utah has this big ass soul vision presented to him, and I'm tired of saying no. I don't want to say no ever again. It's so much better when you say yes. And I'm so excited for what's going to happen in my life because I can show up in that kind of way. And that's what I like about our topic tonight. Meg has really, from my perspective, got a really well-tuned vehicle, if you will, for your own personal ascension, for your reunification with your divinity, your soul, to bring that down into your physical form, to bring that down so you can embody your divinity. Life gets really super cool when that can happen. And that's why I love bringing guests like Meg to the show. So let's get to it. Meg is an ascension activator and creator of Quantum Access, a powerful healing technique that quickly shifts consciousness, unlocks karma, and removes energetic patterns so clients can accelerate their personal ascension. In 1994, Meg experienced a spontaneous Kundalini activation that opened her energy body to accept an angelic soul walk-in. I love that story. Embodying a time jumper, adept in alchemy and ascension, as Meg opened to the guidance and wisdom of her higher self and personal connection with Archangel Metatron, she catapulted into the ascension process. Join me now in welcoming Meg to the show. Welcome to the show, Meg.
Oh, hi, Les. Thank you for having me on the show. It's great to be here.
I'm delighted to have you on the show. So I'm going to just jump right into this 1994 spontaneous Kundalini activation and the soul walk-in. Can you share with us, it sounds like that was a pivot point in your life. Can you just give us an idea of what happened there?
Sure. It's it was the moment that my soul entered into the incarnation, and it happened during the Northridge earthquake in Los Angeles, January 1994, and it set off just a series of like lightning strikes through the body during the earthquake and about probably at least a good 12 hours afterwards. And it just continued to blow open the circuits and open up the energy body so this angelic soul could walk in, which is me. So in a way, it was really shocking and difficult because you then had two very distinct and opposing souls incarnating in one body and one life. And so this is, you know, new concept to people. This is what my understanding is of what a walk-in happens. And within days, my mental awareness and my consciousness shifted dramatically because as this new soul was working through the mind, I was immediately going, okay, I need to start doing energy healing. We got to prepare for 2012. We're going to start going into the ascension. And this is nothing that the previous host soul knew anything about. So it was very radically different. And over the years, radically different. And it just has been a gradual taking over of the life and the incarnation and taking over the body and helping that original soul transition and so that I could actually start to convert it over to my soul frequency and DNA coding and blueprint and purpose. And so this seems to be a way that my soul enters the earth plane. I don't think I've ever actually been born here. I have a handful of times where I've dropped in as a walk-in. And one of the reasons that I do it, because it's not an easy way to enter here. I'll be honest, it was actually very challenging and difficult. But the benefit of it is I avoid the time matrix. And so I'm able to keep linked up to my psychic abilities and to the higher dimensions. I don't lose all that. There's no veils that come in when you come in as a walk-in. So that was the reason that I just, yeah.
So your connectivity to your higher self is much higher bandwidth with that walk-in idea, huh? So
yes,
you said
it stays intact.
You cohabitated two souls. Did you play like three card poker or three player poker? Or I mean, did your ego? Go ahead.
It was more like, you know, I want to do this, and I'm like, no, I want to do this. So it was like two wills pulling away. Yeah, it was tough.
So how did ego, your perception of your ego seem through that process? Because it was that like a baton that was handed from one to another, or did it dissolve and recreate, or?
Yeah, that's a good question. So since I was a visitor, I came into her ego. And as I've observed, to me, the ego is really more of a temporary personality program, and it just develops in this timeline. So
sure.
I came into her ego, and that was some of the problems I had. The ego didn't want to do energy healing. Ego didn't want to meditate. The ego didn't want to do anything that I was trying to pull the life in a new direction. So I worked with the ego patterning and programming and worked with bringing it, think of it kind of like the shadow self, and I would work on bringing it into the light, and it would gradually over time begin to transform more and more to my soul characteristics and my soul's divine will. And so it doesn't fight me now like it used to. It's kind of a gradual conversion into more of a lighter consciousness.
I really like that. I find the whole idea of a soul walk-in as a very opportune time to look at the idea of what part of our persona is ego. I mean, here I am generating sentences, and are these soul sentences? Are these ego sentences? And so from my perspective, I just find it fascinating, and that's what makes me so curious about the notion of a whole different soul showing up. So I love how you share this. So the new soul, or perhaps your original soul, F, that comes in completely with a much higher connection to higher consciousness, and starts downloading all this information into your life path, as far as creating a platform to share the ascension process. I mean, I just look at your website and your platform, and it's quite clear you're here to activate people at a very, very deep level. How does that feel for you personally? I mean, have you been going through that ascension yourself? And you know, like the quantum field can be so etherical to the Western mind because it's so intangible. And then the idea of zero point is right up there with this mystical idea of what it is. Can you share with us how you're experiencing the embodiment of your ascension process?
Yes. So it did, with that Kundalini activation, it did begin to activate my ascension. And so it was very clear. I was in a very dense body and a dense consciousness. And so I started there, and I had to learn how to meditate and begin to increase the energy frequency in my body and my thoughts and my emotions to start to create like an environment, if you want, that I could
sure.
bring like the soul more into the physical, because still at that point in the early stage, my soul was more in the energy body, in the chakra pillar, chakra channel, and not so much in the physical body yet or the physical mind. So it was just a gradual clearing and healing. You know, we're all so fragmented, so starting to bring more of like the human self to connect with the divine self, the physical body to connect with the energy body. You know, there's just so much that is fragmented. Even in my mind, I would look in the mind that I entered into, and it was really fragmented and a lot of blockages and like a maze in there of walls. You know, it was just a lot to work on. So I always tell people I felt like I kind of came into like a beat up jalopy, and I had to make it a Maserati so I could work with it. And so it was a lot of work.
Yeah, that draws an image.
Yeah. But eventually it was working, and I even kind of had to do it blind because I couldn't feel it yet. Even though I was using my technique, which works with vortex energy, I was doing it diligently every day, but I couldn't feel it because of that fragmenting, that disconnection between the frequencies of the physical body was so much lower than the frequencies of the energy body. So I had to start building this coherence between the two, and so that they could kind of start to sync up and then begin that integration with the soul more into the physical body. And so I had to deal with the original host's karma, her soul contracts, all of her emotional immaturity. I had to deal with all of her mind control programming. I mean, there was so much to get in there and clear, but it gave me a good understanding what everybody's dealing with. So I think of it kind of like my university. You know, it was just kind of showing me as I went through those steps to level up. I call it like the stairway to heaven. You know, I just keep going up every level and get that vibration up higher and clean up more and get lighter and get more soul in. And so as I was going through those steps of leveling up, then it gave me a good background to be able to sit with people and help them go through all the same steps. And I think that's what has helped people open up to something that sounds so kind of esoteric and unimaginable, because they're watching me doing it. So I'm not just kind of channeling this. I'm actually doing it. And then they go, okay, she can do it. I can do it too. So that's kind of how it has built up over the years.
Well, it gives you some skin in the game in that you actually feel it. Yeah,
yep.
I kind of had the same scenario like 20 years ago. I started doing this process with my consciousness to cleanse myself. But at the time, I assure you, I had no idea where the hell I was going with it. I just started doing it. And I felt like a 50-pound sack of potatoes. I felt dense and just thick, and I didn't understand, but I just started doing it, and I really didn't give it much thought. And I fast forward 20 years, and it's like, holy shit! I had no idea, like perhaps you might think now, how different life can be when you go in there and clean house and you purify, and it's just a whole different game. And
it
feels
really
so good. It's such a wonderful way to live.
It really is. But I also think that it's coded, like we're kind of hardwired, and it's coded in our blueprint to pursue this, because to me it was illogical where this drive came in me to do this. So I just had to finally accept, all right, I must be coded for this because I can't seem to stop doing it.
Right,
so
yeah.
I think. Yeah, just kind of takes you over.
Well, so how's your life different now? Just day in and day out, what's the before and after scenario?
Oh my goodness, so many things are different. I would say one of the biggest shifts is I don't have this kind of overlying background fear running all the time. Oh my goodness, that was a biggie. So being able to get in and start to neutralize that trauma that was held in the body, and it was a lot of what was past life trauma as well, and persecution trauma from past lives. So being able to start clearing all that gets you into more of a place of just kind of a smooth, peaceful flow through the day. I don't have that fear coming up. I also don't have all this, the insecurities of the ego, this kind of, you know, haunting you all the time. So you're able, even when I kind of hear my inner human self get concerned, well, can we really do this? You know, all I have to do is shift over and go, the soul will take care of it. And that just alleviates the worry. You know, so when you talked about passing the baton, I passed the baton to the soul, to the higher self.
Yeah.
And that was then that really alleviated a lot of that worry, anxiety, fear. Because I know at any moment my soul will know what to do and will be able to pull in whatever solution we need. So it's given me a lot of kind of like inner confidence as the soul builds in the heart center, and it's authentic. It's just natural for the soul to feel confident in what you've already achieved in, you know, thousands and thousands of lifetimes. So you're bringing in, right? You're bringing in all that knowledge from outside of this incarnation. You're starting to tap into where you exist in the entire universe. You start bringing in that knowledge and wisdom and your soul gifts and mastery. And as that was building over the years, boy, I was like, I don't think I'm the same person I was when I started out. So that has been key. Also, I don't feel lonely, and my heart just feels so whole because I've been able to integrate both my divine God and goddess energy into the heart center. So I just feel this kind of pulsing love all the time that I didn't feel that when I started out either. So it's really just it's a beautiful way to live. And having open clairvoyance, you know, having to be able to see and intuit what's happening behind the scenes, because a lot of what we see with our physical eyes and with our left brain is actually an illusion. It's not what it looks like. So being able to learn how to discern, right, by intuiting the energies of everything has kept me out of trouble. I'm not making, you know, poor decisions based on what the ego wants. Keeps
no
me out
mischief?
Of trouble. Oh, no, I'm boring.
Well, I like the visual of the ego pulling the steering wheel off the car, and handing it up to the soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the ego's off the hook. It's like the ego sucks at navigating 3D space anyway. So what the hell? And another thing I noticed was when things happen, personal performance, make a to-do list and crank that sucker out every day. Knock this stuff out. And there's a time for everything. And if your soul says, there's, you know, enjoy life, and even though your to-do list is whatever the hell it is, it for me, it's like when something happens, it's everything. I don't know how many times I would go to force something and then only realize later that, well, not only did it not accomplish what I wanted, but it would have been effortless, you know, 2 weeks later had I just waited for the impulse, if you will. And just, you know
it's
what I mean?
It's so true. Yes, it's so true. And I had to learn this myself because I had a corporate career as a project manager. So we learned all about time management. And I had to actually kind of unlearn that. And what I began to watch just intuitively with my energy is anytime that I'm trying to kind of push out and force with my energy, then I'm not able to open and receive the abundance coming in from the universe. You can't do both at the same time. You're either going to be pushing or you're going to be receiving. So when people say, you know, I'm having trouble with money flow, I don't have my abundance, we'll go, okay, first let's stop pushing, right? Let's just stop forcing. And learn how to be this open container, you know, and let the universe, like a funnel, just bring all this abundance in, then, boy, did that change as well. So it's learning how to work with the flow of your energy. I found that my higher self was encouraging me to shift away from using my energy horizontally out into the astral plane and start working with my energy vertically up and down my channel to spirit and the higher self and the abundant universe. And that was a huge game changer for me.
Well, very nice. Well, so the topic tonight is accelerate your personal ascension. Now you've developed a platform for this to happen for the souls, the people that come to you. Can you give us an overall view of what your platform is?
Okay, sure. So this was guided to me from my higher self, and we're tapping into other timelines that I was utilizing this knowledge of how to use sacred geometry and vortex energy. This, of course, has got dates way back to mystery schools and earlier civilizations. So this is ancient knowledge that I feel we're utilizing again now during this ascension. And it's developing and opening up what we call a zero point within the center of our field, around the heart solar plexus area. And when we can hold zero point, which is it's the place where the particle field and the virtual particle field meet, where physical and non-physical or spiritual realms meet and connect and can create. And there's no gravity in zero point, so it's a still null zone field. When you can hold your center, you know, you hear how the mystics say, you know, you got to hold your center. Well, that's what they're talking about, is this zero point stillness that opens us to this quantum field. It also begins to accelerate what we call the torus, T-O-R-U-S, to be able to create this torus flow, which again is working vertically. It's bringing the energy down from the higher realms and then up from the light grid, and where does it all go? Right to that zero point. And if you understand, when we have a zero point where there's no gravity, it creates what's called a vacuum state, and any vacuum wants to be filled. So when you create a vacuum state in your core center, it starts pulling the soul into the body, and that's our goal, is to embody this divine self, this divine soul presence. So to create this zero point and create the torus flow, I work with sacred geometry. It's called Metatron's Cube, and this is brought to us by Archangel Metatron. This is the template of creation of our universe. And when it is activated, I embed it under the feet. So you're literally like standing on it, grounding to it, and it opens up and activates the five platonic solids within the energy body. It activates the double star tetrahedron, which is the Merkaba light body that we use to accelerate our ascension. And it creates a counterclockwise vortex that spins around the body and aura. And what's so key about the counterclockwise vortex is it is actually reversing time and gravity out of your field. Gravity is a clockwise compression. This is what compresses energy waves that creates atoms. So when we reverse anticlockwise, we're actually unlocking the compression of gravity and starting to convert our atoms into light. And it opens up the energy field so we can get into the actual chakra pillar and work with our chakra pillar. So it's a really powerful technique. People go, well, why would I want to spin in a vortex? Well, if you understand how energy waves work, right, they're oscillating. Everything's spiraling in this universe. And our planet spirals counterclockwise. Our sun, our great central sun at the galactic center, all spin counterclockwise. So we're starting to move into what's a feminine vortex spin, a feminine spin momentum. And we're beginning, this is when they talk about the return of the feminine. This is part of it. Also activating the right brain, which is the feminine brain. These are parts of what they mean when they're talking about bringing in the feminine powers again. And when you spin regularly, which I do every day, you spin in a counterclockwise vortex, you are increasing your energy frequency. And this is what the ascension is all about, is increasing your energy frequency higher and higher to access higher dimensions. And also it works to spiral up your chakra pillar and help you clear all the sludge and density out of your chakras, so you create an open channel up to your higher self and up to spirit. So that's very, in a summary, kind of how it works and what I use to activate it. And it's life transforming, I have to say.
That was beautifully said. The you talk about clearing out the sludge from the past. The whole idea of zero point is no thing contrary to the desire. It's in order for the soul to manifest as it intends. It's like if I go to an art store and I buy a blank canvas to paint on, if the canvas is indeed blank, whatever I bring to it is the totality of what I create, right? Mm-hmm. And it's that zero point or that purity of the canvas. But if I go to the art store and somebody's already tried to paint something and then I try to paint on top of that, it's polluted and diluted, if you will. Mm-hmm. And for me, from an engineering point of view, that zero point is zero substance before the imprint of the soul. So the soul has complete and total say of what's manifested. There's nothing contrary. And so you have precise control over all of the energy involved. But I love all these different points of the language you used was really superb, and I could
you've really put together
I'm sorry,
I even think when you really get comfortable in holding space in that zero point, you lose time, right? Because you're in no time. And so what I found as well is it opens us up to the quantum field of all possibilities. So you're able to access other potential outcomes, you know, other solutions, things that you couldn't have even imagined accessing before. That was a huge opening for me. So it's because it's beyond the mind. And so, yeah, there's no limitations in the zero point.
To an outside observer, it's a miracle.
Right.
But it's a fundamental mechanism of creation that's been there from the beginning of time.
Yes,
so,
it is.
So, all right. I love the language you've shared with us. What a beautiful rapport. So, let's just daydream for a second. What the hell if everybody moved into this place of personal ascension and they cleaned out the dogma of the past, what they became energetically pure, they aligned with their soul, their zero point was fed by soul intention alone. What kind of a world would you imagine that to be?
Well, it's a non-polarized world. So it's when I see, okay, so kind of going into kind of how I visualize the quantum field, it would be where all energy, be it very low vibratory, heavy, dark, high vibratory, pure light, and all in between, all of those particles are like bobbing in a neutral field. So it's non-polarized. So that means, one, there's no aggression, right? There's no attacking, none of that. So it takes all that out of the equation. It starts to create a harmonious field, a coherent field that we live in. So we're no longer emotionally reacting to others. There's no drama. It's really a field of love and acceptance and cooperation. And it's quite an abundant field because then you don't have greed, right? So there's no imbalances of the resources that are available to us. I mean, it's a pretty amazing space. And I think people so yearn to be able to live in that kind of world. And I think that's what's growing is this desire. And also where we're no longer going to kind of just cave in and accept a polarized world anymore and an imbalanced world anymore and a hateful, you know, violent world anymore. We're just not going for it. So I think that's what's happening now, and it will grow. And so, you know, we hear everyone talking about unity consciousness. I think when we get into living as the soul, we just start to see through the eyes of the soul, and the soul speaks from the heart out through our voice, and we're vibrating, right? We're emanating and vibrating out the soul pulse and rhythm of love. And everyone is doing this, then it creates just this world that lives in unity consciousness. And I truly feel that is what the plan right now. And so as we can get more and more into living in this state of love and unity consciousness and union of the human and the soul, then we begin to anchor that reality here. And I think that's what's happening now. And more people be drawn to doing the same, and we build new communities that are harmonious and loving. And wow, it's pretty, that's how I keep getting visions, and I can't wait for that to happen.
Right, yeah. Yeah, very well said. I love everything you've said. And one thing, I think your sense of self becomes absolute, where there's nothing that can be spoken to you by anyone or anything that can sway you out of that center point.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not, I don't think it's even resilience. It's more of a false words don't even have meaning, that they're empty.
And I think, too, when you clear all of your own baggage, you aren't reactionary anymore. So you're
right.
Living in 0 point. So, yeah. So it just falls. It just has no power. It just falls away.
Well, very nice. Well, so working with your clientele, what kind of transformations have you seen in people's lives?
You know, it runs the gamut, because I can basically sit with them and we can look at any area of their life. But what I really love assisting them with is being able to help them embody their soul essence. So helping bring them to 0 point and kind of teach them the techniques so they can do it on their own and begin to live it. And so it can be where they let go of a prior life that was unfulfilling or painful, and they can relocate and they can form new relationships that are healthy. They can open up their abundance flow that's connected directly to their soul gifts. That's a big one that people want to be able to do now. Their health, they start to return back to their health, because when you embody the soul, that soul essence, the soul light, starts to generate health back into the body. So they begin to develop more and more of their psychic abilities, which is so great to see, because then they're listening to their higher self now. So they're not feeling dependent on others, you know. They're really starting to follow their own guidance and where their heart pulls them, what they're passionate about. So it's just so, I just love being in the sacred space with them and being able to help guide them. A lot of times when I work with people, we go in and we repair the energy field. We clear out, destructive patternings or programming. So I help them kind of clear their sludge as well and resolve if there's any past life karma, and being able to help kind of confirm for them by reading their blueprint so they understand, okay, this is why I'm here. This is my mission. This is my purpose. This is what I need to do, and encourage them to really pursue that. So it's just been, I've been doing private sessions for about 20 years now, and I'm finding The my goodness, everybody has come so far in just the past 20 years, you know, instead of just calling in and saying, well, I want to meet my twin flame. Now they're like, I want to do my soul purpose. So
right,
it's really
yeah.
great. You know, it's just such awakening happening. It's very exciting to see, because, you know, 20 years ago, the energy on the planet was very dense and slow, and it took so much to move just, you know, one item in our life. And now everything is so fast that we can get in there and pull like an entire lineage of patterning out. I mean, it's just astonishing what can be moved now and shifted now. So people are what took me, you know, 20 years, people can do, you know, within months or a year. It's extraordinary what's happening.
Right. Very nice.
Yeah.
In your media material, you mentioned several things that you like to do during interviews. I just wanted to open up the direction of this conversation to see if there's anything you wanted to set as the direction.
Okay. Oh, you caught me by surprise there. Okay. You know, what's kind of been in the forefront of my mind this summer is what happened on August 21st with this huge solar eclipse that spanned the entire United States. And I've been now observing what that did, because it was huge. And it was a very powerful ascension activation. And so what I've been noticing since the eclipse is we have moved into some new energy. And so think of it kind of like it opened doors, and now we can access this new energy that we couldn't before. And I've been noticing a lot of crystal codes coming into people or activating in people that are helping them begin to convert their carbon-based cells into more crystalline-like cellular makeup. So there is some acceleration happening in that, which will help us to continue to really metabolize light now as our life force. I see that picking up speed since the eclipse. I also see that we've been, you could maybe call it shifting timelines, where we had maybe some potential timelines trying to anchor onto the planet that would have created, you know, more war, or, you know, a nuclear holocaust, or, you know, really devastating types of destructive timelines we're trying to anchor on. And we were like, oh, hell no. And so those have been blasted away as well, so that we're able to really kind of hold focus now, hold intention, hold vision of this new world that we're birthing here, which is, of course, we were talking earlier, the harmonious world of love and unity consciousness. So I think, you know, everything is shifting, and this is, I think, really why we have come here and embodied onto the planet and connecting to the light grid, is because our consciousness that we bring here is shifting our future timeline radically. And this is how, in a sense, we're assisting not only our personal ascension, but also this planetary ascension that's happening right now.
Sure. And yes, indeed. Amen. Automagically, we're empowering other planets in the same types of paradigms. In the one mind, when they seek solutions to their paradigms, it's the energy we've created and illuminated with our consciousness that touches every point of presence in all that is. And that's a pretty damn big sky at night, so
it is.
I like to think planet Earth is one of the most advanced classes in karma on the in the universe, and there's so many personas and deities that said we've kind of hit the threshold, and the new paradigm is anchored and it's ensured, but there's still. It's always in our advantage to be mindful and conscious of where we're going, because there's still going to be ripples. I mean, the news lately is showing us ripples in the transition from the old paradigm to the new paradigm. And so every time we intentionally clean ourselves, we intentionally envision and commune with our soul and clarify our own purpose, and we get excited, that excitement of our own future. We're lit, even though we're a single persona in a sea of 7 billion. When you talk about that higher consciousness, it's a logarithmic scale. When I suggest you, me, people who work, work's a crazy word, in the service of helping others, human consciousness is the most powerful thing on the planet. Because the big ass gods, the deities, aren't going to descend from the heavens and stop the wars. They're not going to descend from the heavens and end suffering. It's all going to be through flesh and bones. Mm-hmm. And so when you, with what you're doing, and you're doing it so eloquently, I so applaud you, when you work so directly with human consciousness, you're activating the most potent substance that exists to influence not only this moment, but our collective future too. So it's really a very exciting time to be alive.
It really is. And just to kind of add to what you just said, I've been, well, since 11-11-11, so it's like 6 years now, I've been doing monthly global broadcasts. And people call in from all around the world, and we create a collective group mind, and we work with the collective field, and we work on a really intending how we want our future timeline to look, you know, how our future Earth to develop and grow. And it's very impactful. People think, you know, it's just me out of 7 billion, you know, what am I, you know, how can I influence it? Oh, when we come together and we form that, you know, coherent mind, we, and at a divine frequency, we have such influence on what's happening in the collective field. So I just ask, you know, everyone to just join in and start to contribute, because we have more influence and power, I think, than most people realize. That mind of ours is extraordinary, and how we use it, if we master it, it's pretty incredible.
Well, yeah, indeed. When you show up like you are in flesh and bones, and you open up and purify your persona, and allow the intention of your higher wisdom to come through you as you, that's the thing itself. That's it. And to teach others how to do that through that purification, through that cleansing of the old dogma, and moving into that zero point and purifying the platform for it to happen, it's a game changer.
It is.
I don't think it's ever going to get old. I mean, it's like the crazy thing about love and unconditional love is you expand every time you surrender to it. When you love the loving, when you love the act of loving so much that you turn around and do it again and again and again, the whole paradigm softens. I mean, the whole potential of the future becomes soft and fuzzy, where any desire, if you will, becomes much closer, much quicker, and so the soul can dream and then fulfill in shorter and shorter episodes. So there's this quickening, and then you turn around and do it again, and it compounds to it quickens even farther. So it's like, damn, throw the reins down on the galloping horses and pull out the six shooters and shout hooray. Because the ego doesn't have to drive, and it was never intended to. And I don't know, it's just so much fun.
It really is. And it's, I find, because you're opening and opening, expanding, you just open to more information, you open to our knowledge. Like every year I learn more. I can't seem to, you know, get enough. It creates, you know, that curiosity and openness to expanding into more knowledge in the universe. So it you will never get bored on this path.
Well, so who's your ideal client? I mean, as listeners, give us a snapshot of what the listener would benefit from, and what you're looking for, and kind of have some cohesion there.
I think my ideal client is someone who is already awakened and are already dedicated to their spiritual journey, they understand that they're going through a radical transformation, and so instead of fighting it, they really have kind of dove into it, and they're dedicated to it, and they are looking for help in areas where they feel stuck or where they've got the sludge, you know, they just need some help moving it, or if they're having repeated patterns that are causing them blockages or pain or suffering, these kinds of things, we go in and we understand what the blockage is, why it's there, they get the lesson, we clear the blockage. So it's just kind of a very sacred healing space we join together. And I work as an intermediary between them and their soul and their spirit team. So everybody has whatever they need, you know, during this session directly from their higher self, their divine self. And I think it's, you know, we don't have to know all the answers. I think it's just coming in and being fully willing and open to whatever happens and what they experience. They're not afraid to feel their feelings, you know, or know the truth. You know, you got to be willing. And then we can make magic happen.
Very nice. All right. Well, I want to make sure that we cover your platforms, your web page, your the different ways clients can engage you, any books. Give us every nook and cranny about how to connect with you.
Okay, my website is newearthcentral.com. You can also access it through my name, megbenedicte.com. And on the website, I do have years and years of blog talk podcasts. So you can just jump right in and start listening to past shows. I do live healings on the shows and teaching on the shows. Those are all free, so there's years of them there. But if you want to go, you know, deeper in, you can try out some of my recorded activations and work with them on your own. People use them. There's activations for learning how to ground into the body and into your energy field, how to contain your energy field, how to open up more of your abundance, how to activate and learn how to live in 5D living, which is what you were talking about earlier, in unity consciousness, how to activate your light body. So there's lots of training on the website and meditation downloads you can use on your own. And if you are interested in joining our global meditations, those podcasts are at least once a month. The next one coming up is October 21st, so it's a couple weeks. We do it on a Saturday. And those, I'll take you on a ride. I'm gonna open up the vortex around you, and we're all going to work on the collective field, and also do some activations on ourselves. They're very timely on what's happening. So, like next month, I'll have the 11/11 activation. In December, we'll have the solstice 12/21 activation. So, these keep everybody kind of progressing through what's happening real time on the planet. And I do have a book. My book is called Soul Realized, Unlocking the Keys to Becoming a Divine Human. And it's really more of what I went through, just kind of guiding you through what you need to work on as you go through the ascension process. It's not a manual. It's more of just sharing what I encountered and what I it does have exercises in each chapter to help you start that process yourself. So the book is there. And I do have some CDs where there's a zero point harmonic CD and download. If you are drawn to learning more about zero point and working on creating zero point in your own field, you might like that meditation CD as well. Lots to look at.
Well, very nice. Your material is so authentic, and it's so coherent and smooth and clean and graceful. It just reeks of compatibility. I wanted to say continuity of the truth, but very seldom do I see such wonderful material. So I really like what you're doing. Oh, it's easy
to
say.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I see a lot of people on the show, and this is really high caliber stuff. So,
oh, thank you.
So when you look at this embodiment, you look at this, I mean, here we are, and in your media kit, it talked about you bringing in information from ancient mystery school knowledge from Lemurians, Syria, Senzep Tepe, Egypt. How do you... every chapter of our mythology is unique in its own way. How do you see this awakening this time around on Earth now? How do you see that as being different from when we've done it in the past?
That's a great question. Being a walk-in, I've checked out some of my other lifetimes that I joined on this planet, and so I did come here and join into the Lemurian civilization and also the ancient Egyptian civilization with the Zeptepi mystery schools. And what I see happening when we talk about the New Earth, you know, everybody's using that term. That's the name of my website, New Earth Central. I feel it is a new Lemurian civilization that we are activating. And it's, you know, the original Lemurian civilization was more dominant feminine, and the Atlantean was more dominant masculine. And I think what we're learning over these civilizations that rise and are, you know, reach their peak and then they collapse under certain reasons, I think
right.
The key is we really need to bring the two together. We need to unite the feminine, the masculine, so there is no more polarity. There's no bit more duality here. So I think this new Earth we're building now needs to be a non-polarized environment. It needs to be where we're integrating both our feminine and masculine within ourselves, and we start this new model of relationship where we're whole beings and we're interacting with each other as whole beings, and we come from that place of that wholeness now. So I think this is kind of learning from the failures of the past. I think that's what we are realizing needs to happen here. And we're on a very polarized planet. You know, we've got the two opposite poles, the North and South Pole. We're in an electromagnetic field where opposites attract. And so we're here altering even the electromagnetic field, right? We're here altering the polarity that exists so that it's we're here softening it, as you said. We're calming it down. We're neutralizing the opposition, and we're starting to try to bring everything into more wholeness and cohesion again. And I think that is a key point for this new, what we would call Lemurian civilization that's opening up now.
Wow, very well said. Well, I'm so delighted you're doing what you're doing. You're doing it in such an authentic way. The compassion of your heart is palatable.
Good.
And your persona is just a joy to interact with. And I want you to know if there's any way I can help you now and in the future timeline, I'd be delighted to. An hour goes by pretty fast.
Yeah.
Do you have any closing comments?
I think, you know, we've covered a lot of material here, but I think just to encourage everybody to not get depressed or you know, disappointed with what's happening on the planet right now, because those are signs of the collapse that's happening, and the collapse has to happen so we can, you know, kind of fill the void with this new Earth. It's just having compassion for everyone as we go through these struggles right now, as we're shifting from a dying polarized civilization into this new Earth. So I just encourage everyone to stay kind of more inner focused to your beautiful heart, your beautiful soul, and that love in there, and not get too discouraged about what's happening in the news, because we are truly shifting this world. We're already in the majority light on this planet, and it's picking up speed. So just I want to encourage everyone to keep real positive while we go through the changes right now.
So very well said. We've been talking with Meg Benedicte, and what a show. I mean, I don't have to add anything to that. You know, when your soul shows you a vision for your life and it's bigger than your ego has ever comprehended, you have to get your ego in line with your life path. And it's a reprogramming. I wrote a book, Citizen King, to help you do just that. Hey, you know, it's my pleasure bringing you shows like this. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.